Shabbos morning, we discussed some shuls daven bright and early, other shuls daven late. Us Ashkenazim have a custom of davening late. If you're going to daven at a minyan, that's going to daven too late, so you might want to make sure that you said Kriya Shema at home. Before shul starts, we have a biblical mitzvah to say Kriya Shema within the first 3 hours of the day. So, a person comes to shul, and customarily we wear a talis in shul. Many Ashkenazim have the custom that only married people wear a talis. A person comes to shul and he finds that his talis is no longer kosher. How can that happen? The simplest way is if your three-year-old decides that he's going to snip the string, that can happen. It could happen that your string gets caught in a seat and gets torn, but that's pretty rare that it'll get disqualified for that. What's more common is that happened to me. You show up in shul and you're a guest and you didn't bring your talis along. You end up stuck in a location and you don't have a talis with you. And then the shul gives you a talis and you look at the talis and you find that on the upper corner, you have a hole in the upper corner where the talis comes out of. So over there, one of the strings is cut. And if one of the strings are cut up here, before the first knot, so then that's disqualified. It's not kosher, period. There's nothing to talk about. If the strings after the knots are torn, so there's what to talk about. But if you have a string torn up on top by the garment where it loops through the hole before the first knot, if one of the strings are cut there, then it's disqualified, finished. You can't wear that talis. It's not a kosher tzitzis. You have a talis, you don't have a kosher tzitzis. Talis is the garment, tzitzis are the strings, right? So I've had this once where I came to shul, and I found the talis, just like that. I didn't have my own talis. I asked for the shul talis. Before I put it on and make a blessing, I check, and I see that it's completely non-kosher. Now what? So there's a very interesting halacha in the laws of Shabbos. Ordinarily, you're not allowed to wear a four-cornered garment that doesn't have tzitzis on it. The Torah says, if you want to wear a four-cornered garment, you have to place tzitzis in that garment. But what happens if you show up to shul and let's say you came to this town because they told you there's a prospective shidduch that you want to look into, right? And you're Sephardi, you wear a talis even though you're not yet married. And you know that she's peeking through the Ezra's Nashim, she's going to look at you, right? Or her father's going to look at you or whatever. You feel conspicuous standing there without a talis. Everyone else is wearing a talis. You're going to be the odd man out. You ask the shul, and they say, we don't have any other talis. So now you're not going to be very comfortable being the only one without a talis there. So here we have a special halacha that says that out of respect for human dignity, being that you cannot fix it on Shabbos, so the halacha permits a person to wear a disqualified talis rather than get embarrassed without a blessing. Now, on a weekday, we wouldn't allow such a thing, because we'd say, go fix the talis. But on a Shabbos, where you cannot fix the talis, in order to prevent an embarrassment, so we'd let you wear the talis. So I've had numerous times where I've traveled, and I couldn't take along a talis. I was limited in what I could carry, so I had my tefillin, I didn't have my talis. And then I come to the shul, and the only talis the shul has to offer is a non-kosher talis. This happens, by the way, in the army. Sometimes if you have to travel, you have to visit soldiers, or you have to be somewhere in the army, the army doesn't always have kosher talisim. Sometimes you check the tzitzis they give you, and it's not kosher. Now what? So I don't feel like it's such an embarrassment for me to stand without a talis. I don't mind. I've never relied on this leniency in my life. Even though I've had situations where that meant that I stood all of davening without a talis. Okay, fine. It's not the end of the world. To me, it's not such an embarrassment. But if a person's going to, if someone is in a situation where he will be embarrassed, so he doesn't have to be embarrassed. Here we have this leniency that on Shabbos he may wear that garment. We have a custom that on Shabbos we take our time. We daven slowly. We sing. Some people get upset by that. So I recommend if you're impatient, go to a shul that davens more quickly. But then you have people who want the quicker davening and they go to a slow shul and they spend their life complaining that davening should be quicker. I'm not sure that's fair because the halacha actually says that it's part of how we honor Shabbos. Some people daven a longer davening. Personally, I've had many years in my life where I like the shorter davening. Next door to Machon Meir, you have a 5:30 minyan. You go 5:30 in the morning. You could be done very quickly. On Shabbos, when does it start? 6 o'clock? 6:15? Oh, Yitzchak, yeah. Yeah. But there you have to be careful, because if you sneeze, you missed it. It's right. It's very, very fast. So there is a custom to daven slowly. We add a lot of psalms in the Shabbos davening. What we have to be concerned is that we say Kriya Shema at the right time. If you see you're in shul, and Chabad does this very often, they have a minyan that's going to start very, very late, and they're not going to say Kriya Shema on time. So it's your responsibility to say Kriya Shema on time. And then you'll say it again when they get up to Kriya Shema. If a person shows up late to shul on Shabbos, so the first thing that you guys, I want you to remember this. You woke up late. It's 9:30. You're going to show up to shul, and you're going to make it to Musaf. You're not even going to make it to Kriya Satorah. Get out of bed, get dressed, and go to shul. It's a big mistake to say, I don't want to show up late. So then you roll over and you wake up at 11:30 or 12. That's wrong. Show up late. Better show up late than not show up. Parents make this mistake. It's a generational thing. When I was a kid, we had those people who always showed up for Musaf. And they didn't even blush. I'm not saying you should be one of those. But at least everyone knew you showed up to shul, even if you showed up at Musaf. Today, a lot of people don't even show, and that's terrible, because the whole Shabbos is different. The kids grow up, and this is like normal to them, that you can spend the Shabbos morning in bed. Go to a late minyan, show up late to shul, but show up. Even if you show up for the last 10 minutes, your Shabbos is going to be different. So you should try to show up on time. And if you can show up early, you'll discover that Shabbos davening can be a special thing. It can really be nice. If you have the time for it. But let's say a person does show up late and he wants to make it to Baruch Hu. He wants to say Baruch Hu with the crowd. So then a person can really make shortcuts just like we do during the weekday. So a person can say Baruch Shama, right? You say the blessings of the morning. And then you get to Baruch Shama. And then you can say Ashrei. And then you should try to get Nishmas in, Nishmas Kol Chai. And then you get Yishtabach. So you said Baruch Shomar, Ashrei, ideally Nishmas, and Yishtabach. So that's, if a person really has to cut it short, he could really go down to that. If you have time, then yes, you should say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, yeah. What you can add is nice, yeah.
Kobanat Abed, you should say before you should.